Greetings, Shalom. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com and our ongoing study of the book of Shmuel Aleph, the first book of Samuel. And today we are going to tackle the 20th chapter, a momentous chapter, which really, in a sense, brings a close to one stage in David's career and forever seals David and Shaul as at odds with each other and in an adversarial relationship, in spite of David's attempts. As we left off at the end of chapter 19, David had gone to the pastures in Ramah to Shmuel. Shaul had followed him there after three of his sets of his soldiers had gone to capture David, had all been seized with the spirit of prophecy. Shaul had also been seized with the spirit of prophecy. And as I mentioned at the end of the last session, David took advantage of that to run away, and here we pick a David up. Vayivach David minayot parama, vayavo vayomer lefnei Yehonatan. So he ran away, and evidently he came back to Givah, and now we have a flip of what we had at the beginning of chapter 19. What have I done wrong? What is my sin? What have I erred to your father that he wants to kill me? Now David is convinced that Shaul wants to kill him, and Yonatan needs convincing. Vayomer lo chalila lo tamut. And Yonatan echoes the words, invertedly, of what Shaul had said about Yonatan himself in chapter 18. He says, God forbid, you absolutely will not die. And by the way, these are the words of the people when they saved Yonatan. Hine lo yasa vidavar gadol o davar katon v'lo yiglat ozni. It's an interesting passage. We'll look at the end of the verse and see what the sentiment and perhaps the misunderstanding on Yonatan's part here is. Father will not do a great thing or a small thing v'lo yiglat ozni without telling me. Why would Father keep this from me? It's not true. Now, whether or we are at odds with the presentation in chapter 19 when Yonatan was convinced that David was in trouble, or whether Yonatan became convinced by Shaul's oath that David will not die, and Shaul subsequently has not confided anything in Yonatan, one way or the other, he is convinced that David is safe and that David is imagining things. Now, there is an assumption here on Yonatan's part, which is that Father would confide in him anything of significance that he would do. In other words, that Father is clueless about the relationship between Yonatan and David. For a while, that was indeed true. However, at this point, Yonatan seems to be acting with some naivete. Vayishavah od David vayomer. So David now took an oath. He says, Yadoa yada vicha kimatzati chen beinacha. Your father knows that you like me. Vayomer al yeda zot Yonatan pen yatzev. And David here ascribes to Shaul a very noble cause, a very noble motivation. He said, your father isn't telling you because he doesn't want you to be sad. The real reason may be your father isn't telling you because he doesn't want you to help me. He takes an oath by God and an oath by Yonatan's life, which is so dear to David, so that's a significant oath, that kifesa, like a thin hair, separates between me and death. I'm this close, and David may be referring to his two narrow escapes from Shaul's spear, or just to his situation as he escaped through the window and he escaped from Shaul. He's had several successful escapes, but they've been very narrow. Yonatan becomes provisionally convinced and says, what do you want from me? I'll do it for you. Whatever you want. And now let's find out. Tomorrow is Chodesh, meaning the first day of the month. And we now find out something about how Rosh Chodesh was celebrated in the days of the Shoftim. Yashove Shev doesn't mean I will surely sit. It means I am intended to sit with the king. And he's asking Yonatan, please send me away until the third evening, meaning there's evidently going to be 2 days of celebrating Rosh Chodesh. I want you to send me away. You know, David feels he doesn't have the right to leave the king's presence or the king's table without being called away by a member of the king's family. So he asks Yonatan to pro forma send him away until the third evening. And then he has Yonatan do the following. If your father notices me missing, sort of like an army count, because of course the entire setting of Shaul is an army as opposed to a royal court. If father counts me, v'yamarta, and then here's what you should say. Nish'ol nish'al mimeni David larutz beit lachem iro. David was requested away from me to go back to his city, Beit Lachem. Ki zevach hayamim sham l'chol ha-mishpacha. They have an yearly sacrifice for his whole family. David is going there. That's the story I want you to tell him. So now, choice A is father says nothing. If father says nothing, we're fine. If father asks, this is what you tell him. Im ko yomar tov, shalom l'avdecha. If your father says good, then everything's fine. Shalom l'avdecha. In other words, if your father is comfortable with me going to Beit Lachem to have a sacrifice, then everything is fine. Now, there may be something secretive here that David knows and Shaul knows that Yonatan may not be aware of. We'll talk about that in a moment. V'im charo yacherelo, but if he gets angry, da ki chalta ha-ra'am me'imo, then you know that he has made a final decision. Chalta ra'am literally means the end is, the evil is finished, means it's complete, and he has made a decision to kill me. And then, v'yasita chesed al avdecha, do kindness with me, ki v'vrita adonai v'etat avdecha imach, you've brought me into a covenant with God, meaning you and I have a covenant together to which God is the witness, and therefore I'm asking you to do this kindness for me. V'yesh b'avon hamiteni, if I did something wrong, you kill me. This, of course, is a flowery exaggeration. Atavi aravi chalamazetvini, don't bring me to your father. In other words, if I did something wrong, kill me. If not, then help me out, and this is what I'm asking you to do. I want you to officially send me away so I'm not there. And let's see if father notices. If your father doesn't say anything about it, then evidently he's calmed down. If he does notice and asks, and you tell him that that you gave me permission to leave, to go to Beit Lachem to a family korban, if he says good, then fine. If he gets angry, then you know we're finished. Now, why would this particular signal set Shaul off? If you recall back in chapter 16, Perek Tet Zayin, when Shmuel was sent by God to anoint a new king, he was sent to Beit Lechem. And he went, his cover story was that he's going to Beit Lechem to have a family korban with the family of Yishai. Now, a few chapters later, and a few months or years later, if David is suddenly found to be going back to Beit Lechem to have a family korban to Shaul, that can be a signal, again, that there is an attempt to anoint a new king, or remind him of that particular story, that if he found out about it, would have been angry at Shmuel. In addition, David going back home to his family, and we know that he has battlers and soldiers that are members of his family, and his father's a wealthy man, and his family lives in the land of Yehuda that ever since the beginning has seen itself as somewhat separate from the northern tribes. We saw that in chapter 11 when they formed a separate army to go help and fight against Yavesh Gilad. Shaul may indeed think that this is the beginning of an insurrection. Now, of course, when you are already geared and programmed to see evil lurking all around you and threats and conspiracy, what we commonly refer to as paranoia, it's very easy to interpret this sort of thing. Notice one other thing, is that in the dialogue between David and Yonatan, David uses the doubled verb quite often, yashov eshev, pakod yifkedeni, nish'ol nish'al, charo yachareh. This is usually an element of surprise. We don't expect to hear this. Haloch yelech uvacho, indeed he goes crying, and yet indeed he comes in singing. At the end of Psalm 126 as an example, and many other examples like this. Indeed, we get the sense that this entire scene that David is describing is a momentous, climactic scene that one way or the other is going to tell us where things lay, how the relationship with Shaul not only is now understood to be, but also how it is going to play out. What does Yonatan say? Yonatan, Chalil alach, ki im yadoa eda, again, ki chalta ra'a me'im avil avu alacha, v'lo ta'agid lach. He said, God forbid that if I know that father is after you, that I won't tell you. So of course I'll tell you. You don't have to bring the brit in. Of course I'll tell you. So David essentially says to Yonatan, how are we going to communicate? So let's find out. So the two of them go out to the field. Now they go out to the field for two reasons. One is that, as the old saying goes, Oznaim Lakotel, the walls have ears. You go out in the field, like Yaakov and Leah and Rachel, they take advice in the field where no one can hear them. The second thing is that the advice will have to do with the field, so they have to point out particular places in the field. Look at the phrasing in this pasuk. Lacha v'netzei hasadeh. That is a phrase that shows up in another form in Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, in chapter 7, verse 12. If you take a look for a moment in your Tanachim, if you have a Tanach available, even if it's printed in many Sidurim before Kabbalat Shabbat, take a look in chapter 7 of Shir HaShirim, verse 12, and you will see the following phrase, L'cha dodin neitzei hasadeh. Come, my beloved, let us go out to the field. But look at the word Dodi. The word Dodi and the word Dod throughout Shir HaShirim looks exactly like the word David. It is for that reason that the one time that David's name is mentioned in Shir HaShirim, it's written with a Yod, Dalad Vav Yod Dalad, which is a little unusual, in order to distinguish it from the word Dod, beloved, that is so prevalent in the song. Now, L'cha Dodi Neitzei HaSadeh, which of course is the foundation of Alkabetz's famous song, L'cha Dodi, if you look at the verse in Shir HaShirim, it seems to be replicating the verse here. L'cha Dodi Neitzei HaSadeh is exactly what Yonatan said. L'cha David Neitzei HaSadeh. Come, David, let's go out to the field. And that's exactly what he does. And they're out in the field. Vayomer Yonatan al David, Adonai Elohei Yisrael, ki achkor et avi ka'id machar, hashlishit. So he says, by God, he takes an oath, when I investigate or I check with my father, at this point tomorrow or the third day, v'nei tov el David, and everything's good, then I'll send a message to you and I'll let you know. We've seen this already as a formula for an oath, el avi, et hara'a lecha, v'galiti et oznecha, and then I'll let you know if it's bad, and I'll send you away, and you'll go in peace. And then God will be with you as he was with my father. Yonatan here is admitting that his father has lost Ruach Hashem, and that is something that David now has. Some sort of a continuation to the oath. And now he's giving David an oath because he may never see David again. And he says, don't cut off your kindness with my household. And when God destroys all of your enemies, make sure to have kindness over my family. This is an anachronistic pasuk. Yonatan made a brit with Beit David, the house of David, the dynasty of David. Beit David is, of course, something that does not exist yet. David doesn't even have any children that we can talk about, certainly not a dynasty. But that is the implication, that Yonatan is making a brit with the future descendants. Miyad Oyvei David. And he continued to give him an oath, to make oaths with him, because he loved him so much. And now we get to the passage, which is of course quite famous. It's the Haftarah on days that, whatever Shabbat is the day before Chodesh. So now Yonatan repeats what David had already told him. Tomorrow, this is the plan. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Vinifkadta, you will be missed. Ki paked moshavecha, your seat will be noticed to be empty. A very strange phrase. What it means is, go down to the field for 3 days. And go to the place where you hid on that day. What was the day? Back in the beginning of the previous chapter, when Yonatan told David to hide in the field, and then Yonatan came out with his father to the field in the open and spoke about David, and David was able to overhear Shaul say that he will not hurt David. So you go to there. Vani... It's a particular boulder. Go sit by that boulder. I'm going to come and shoot three arrows out to the side. The shalachli the matara, as if I'm going towards a target. And I'm going to send the kid, because Yonatan can't go out to the field alone. He's a prince. I have a valet. I'm going to go send him, and I'm going to say, Lech mitzayat achitzim, go find the arrows. Im amor omar, again, im amor omar la na'ari ne'achitzim mechava heina, if I tell him they're closer than where you are, kachenu vavoa, come and take them, ki shalom lach v'in davar chay Adonai. Then, you can come back, because you know everything's cool. That's our signal. Our signal is that if I say to the kid, everything is closer, the arrows are closer, come on in and get them, then you know everything's fine. But if I say to the kid, the arrows are behind you, they're further, then you have to go because God has sent you. In other words, your destiny is to leave, and that means Father's angry with you. And this matter that we spoke of, God is between us as a witness and forever. Alright, now let's see what happens. David hid in the field, and now it's Rosh Chodesh. The king sat down. Lechem here means food, as it usually means in Tanakh. The king sat down to eat his food. Notice, Shaul sits as his usual place, up against the wall. He's paranoid. He doesn't want anybody sticking up behind him. So Yonatan got up. Avner then sat down next to Shaul. We assume Yonatan's sitting there also. But David is the other member of this table that is not there, and his place is missing. And Shaul said nothing. For us, that's a very good sign. Why? Ki Amar. Now again, the word Amar, as I've said many times, the word Amar, when missing a target audience, means thought. Ki Amar, he thought, Mikrehu. It happened an incident, and this would refer to a sexual incident. Bilti tahorhu ki lo tahor. He's not tahor. He had relations with his wife, or in some other way, he is impure, which shows that in their day, their practice was to have the feast of Rosh Chodesh eaten on a certain level of sanctity. Perhaps they even brought a korban. And therefore, he said, oh, David can't be here, and he's not going to send a message to that effect. We'll understand from his absence that he is not able to be here. So far, things look fine. It's the next day, which is the second day of the Rosh Chodesh, which itself is quite curious, because we are all under the impression that the reason that in our practice, half the months, roughly, have 2 days Rosh Chodesh is because we are kind of adjusting for the calendar, but really there would be no reason at a time that they were testifying to the moon, that they were testifying and intercalating based on eyewitness testimony, to automatically have 2 days. And here they knew they were going to have 2 days, because Yonatan said hang there till the third day. So evidently on sometimes, or perhaps every time, they had a 2 day feast. Maybe it was like we do with Rosh Hashanah, where the second day feast was on the second of the month. It wasn't automatically a 30th and a first. Unclear, but it is clear that they had 2 days. Vaybakir makom David, and here David's place is missing and noted. Vayomer Shaul Yonatan beno. So Shaul turned to Yonatan because evidently Shaul understands that Yonatan has a special relationship with David. And madua lo va ben Yishai gam tmol gam hayom el alachem. Why did not? Now notice, he cannot call David by his name. He calls him Ben Yishai, because when you really hate somebody, it's kind of hard to look at them or to say their name. So why didn't Ben Yishai come today or yesterday to eat the bread? Vayan Yonatan et Shaul nishol nishal David me'imadi ad beit lachem. So Yonatan told the story that we know. David was requested away to go to Beit Lachem. Vayomer shalcheni na ki zevach mishpacha lanu ba'ir. And this is what he requested of me. Send me, please. We have a family korban in the city. V'utzi vali achi. Right, and he commanded me, he asked me, my brother, so my brother, David is telling, Yonatan is saying what David said, my brother asked of me to come, and now if you like me, David said to me, let me go away, let me go see my brothers, that's why he's not here. And now is the real test, what's Shaul going to do? Shaul got furious. Na'avat from the word na'iva, sinful. Sinful, rebellious son. Halo yadati ki vocherata leven Yishai. You choose Ben Yishai. Levoshtecha u levoshetavati me'acha. Which is a your shame and the shame of the nakedness of your mother. In other words, you are choosing David, you're over your own future, really, if you think about it. And it is a shame on the family that you're making such a choice. You, the crown prince, are choosing my competitor. As long as Ben Yishai is alive, you and your kingdom will not rise. Go bring him to me. His Shaul doesn't even believe that he's in Beit Lechem. Go bring him to me. He deserves to die. He is a rebel. And Yonatan simply said, what did he do? He didn't do anything. Why should he die? Now we know things have come to a very, very dreary state, where Shaul is now not just trying to stake David with his spear, but now he's coming after his own son. Of course, he tried earlier to kill his own son. And now he understood that David was right, that Shaul really is out to kill David. And now it's Yonatan who's angry. Shaul was angry before, now Yonatan is angry. And he wouldn't eat any food on the second day. He was very upset for David because his father had said these terrible things. So what happened? Now all that's left is for Yonatan to give David the signal, and as I said, this is going to lead to a parting of the ways. David will never again sit at Shaul's table. David and Shaul will interact a few more times, but in very different circumstances than we've had till now. Ahiva Boker, in the next morning, which is now the third morning, Vayetse Yonatan Asadelamoy David Vnarkatonimoy went out with a young boy with him to Moed David, Moed meaning the place of meeting. So he told the kid, go out and be ready for the arrows. The kid went out and then he shot the arrow and he shot it behind him deliberately. And so he went to the place to pick up the arrows, to retrieve them. And Yonatan said, no, it's behind you. Now, even though the kid was standing where the arrows were, he said, it's behind you, because he wanted David to hear that. Then he said, quickly, run. And he came and brought the arrows back quickly. Now, what is Yonatan? Why is he speeding him up? Because the kid knew nothing about what was going on. Yonatan and David yadu ot hadavar. They understood what was going on. And this worked. Yonatan gave his tools, which means his, evidently his quiver and his arrows, to the kid and said, could take this quickly to the city. Hanarba, as soon as the kid was gone, with David Kameitz al Hanegev, David came up from the south side of the field. And he bowed in front of Yonatan three times. Yonatan had saved his life. They embraced. They both wept, and David wept even more. And Yonatan said, David, go in peace. As we took an oath in God's name, saying, God will be between you and me, between our children forever. And we'll see how this will play out in future generations. In the meantime, this is, of course, a very sad position. And if you just take a look at the first two words of Perek Chaf Aleph, Vayakom Vayelach. David got up and he went, and then we will follow Yonatan for half a pasuk, and then we're going to follow David as he begins the famous journeys and wanderings of David, which will take us all the way into approximately the 27th chapter, when David finally settles temporarily in the land of the Plishtim, but we will leave that for later. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll see you in the next podcast when we study chapter 21, Perek Chaf Aleph.